And let's pray. Gracious God, as we pause for this time to hear your word read and proclaimed, we ask that you still our hearts and minds so that we can hear your Spirit's word for us today. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. I do not want to be ignorant, brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but with the testing he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. And then our gospel lesson today comes from Luke, Chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all other people living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the man working in the vineyard, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, and if not, you can cut it down."
As we come to Isaiah this morning, Isaiah is speaking to his people who are living among the Babylonians. During their exile, the Israelites have integrated themselves into their captive society and have turned away from God. Instead, they have turned to a life lived for the enjoyment of material things and themselves. This morning, Isaiah is proclaiming God's invitation to return from spiritual exile and enjoy the good life that can only be found in God. Listen now for the word of the Lord. "Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Now you shall call nations that do not know you, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Deb Dana, who is a licensed therapist, has recently coined the word glimmers. Glimmers are the opposite of what we call a trigger. She shares that glimmers are experiences or sensations or micro moments that cue safety, calm, or regulation in our nervous system. Therefore, if a trigger is anything, a smell, a taste, an experience, or a person, that activates an embodied memory of a past threat or trauma, a glimmer is something that helps us connect with a sense of safety, peace, and happiness. As part of one of my seminary classes, we had to read a book called Strong Like Water, which is written by Audie Colbert. She is also a licensed therapist. And in her book, she uses this idea of glimmers to evoke a sense of lighting up as a vital part of ourselves that makes us human. She writes that tuning into glimmers essentially makes us feel connected, curious, creative, compassionate, and alive. In our scripture reading this morning, Isaiah is reminding the people of the glimmers that come through accepting God's invitation. At first glance, it may seem that this final poem in Isaiah, this invitation to what sounds like a party, may not fit into our season of Lent. But upon deeper consideration and prayer, it's actually a call to repentance. Isaiah begins through using the metaphors of thirst and hunger to invite the people to partake in what the Lord has to offer. Isaiah is urging the people then and us now to accept God's free invitation. He says, "Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." You see, this invitation from the Lord is free, it's for everyone, it's plentiful, and it's glorious. During the season of Lent, we often think of sacrifice and penance and prayer as the path to true spiritual abundance with God. This morning, Isaiah is begging the question about why we waste our money on things that will not quench our spiritual thirst, because truly no amount of things can do that. That can only come from God. Isaiah says, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear, come to me, listen so that you may live." Isaiah is calling upon his people to accept the Lord's invitation and turn away from the desire for worldly abundance. Then Isaiah reminds the people of the everlasting covenant that he made with David, which extends to them. During their exile in Babylon, the people turned away from God. They became a sinful people who were caught up in a materialistic society. They forgot who they were, and they forgot who they belonged to. And even though they have gone down this sinful path, Isaiah tells us that God has invited them to repent and return to him. Isaiah proclaims to seek the Lord and call upon him. Let the wicked forsake their way and the righteous, unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So with open arms full of love and forgiveness, God is calling them home to him, where they belong. Then the Lord our God reminds us that my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Simply put, God does not think or act like us. God's ways are different. God's ways are glorious. They're full of love and forgiveness. Well, this creates a crossroads for the people. Which path will they choose? Which path will we choose? The path of self-righteousness, full of false idols, self-interest and greed, or the path of love, gentleness, and the kindness that walks with Christ. As I studied Isaiah this week, what kept coming to my mind was Robert Frost's old poem, The Road Not Taken, which I'm sure many of us studied in school. But it really helps to eliminate these two different paths in life. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, that's important, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other, just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy, and it wanted wear. Though as for the passing there had worn them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubt if I should ever come back. Somewhere ages and ages hence, I shall be retelling this with a sigh. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Our narrator is looking down both paths, trying to decide which one to choose. He points out that the paths are yellow. Well, this metaphor for changing seasons is also a metaphor for transition in our own lives, which also is a metaphor for a season of Lent. After all, the season of Lent is a time of prayer, fasting, and self-examination as we prepare for the celebration of Christ's resurrection on Easter morning. As the poem continues, the narrator understands that he must pick one path or the other. True, the first path has been worn down and would be much easier to navigate. But as he stood there that early morning, our narrator shares that, yes, two paths diverged in that wood, and I took the one that was less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Ultimately, Frost's poem points out these two paths, the one that is without God. It is full of temptation, the popular path, the path of least resistance, the path leading to self-interest. But then there's that other path, the path with God, the path that is challenging to navigate, especially in our modern society. And while this path may come with its challenges and its lessons, it also comes with Christ. He walks it with us through our triggers and our glimmers. Sweet family, the invitation in Isaiah to participate with God and walk this path with Christ is an amazing gift. And as we walk this path, that is where we find glimmers. Truly, these glimmers only come from God. No pursuit of things down that other path could ever quench the thirst for spiritual wholeness. So this morning, let's ponder this idea of glimmers that we could find as we walk our life with Christ. Now remember, if glimmers make us feel safe, peaceful, and happy, what are the things or people in your life that make you feel safe, peaceful, and happy? Is it a Super Bowl commercial with the Muppets? Is it playing with a child? Is it sitting in creation? Is it laughing with friends? The joy that comes from the smell of new flowers in bloom? Is it thinking of memories of your children when they were little? Take a moment, and I am going to pause here. Take a moment and think of one that's yours. Now, as you go through your week, use this glimmer to inspire in your heart wherever God might be leading you. In our scripture this morning, God is reminding us of His invitation to a life fully lived with Him. It is full of glimmers. God wants us to feel safe and peaceful and happy. And as we walk through our season of Lent, we remember that Christ came to show us the way to live. Then He sacrificed Himself to cover all of our sins, and in His resurrection, death and sin were conquered. We do not have to live a life of fear. Remember, as someone's always telling us, we are an Easter people. We live and rejoice in the amazing knowledge of God's ultimate love for us. As we move through Lent, I invite you to be watchful of the glimmers that God sends your way. Keep a list of them. Pray with thankfulness over them. These moments of complete joy or quiet peacefulness are gifts from God. The fact is, life is hard. It was hard for the people of Israel back then. It is hard for us now. And as we watch for these glimmers to come our way, I invite us to be reminded of Paul's words to his friends at the church in Philippi. He shares, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Paul's words serve as a wonderful model for identifying these glimmers. And as we move through Lent towards Easter morning, may we boldly accept God's invitation to seek Him out, call upon Him, and enjoy a life fully lived with Him. I pray that as we walk with Christ, we see all the glimmers that appear along our way, and I pray that you rest in the love and safety and peace that can only come from Almighty God. Amen.